All right, if you want to share one phrase with you, Josh starts working tomorrow. He'll be working every day from 9 to 3. And let's praise the Lord for providing. He'll be at the Guernsey Industries down there in Byesville, but we've been working with them for a couple months to get him in there and get him started. And he starts tomorrow morning. So pray for him. Pray that he have the stamina. It's going to be hard to get started 6 hours a day. But those folks are good at working with people, and so we're praying that this will be a real blessing. So we praise the Lord for that and ask you to pray for him as he starts. Brother Jim Menkoff, come up, sir, and preach for us this evening, please.
Well, it's certainly good to be with you folks this evening at Bible Baptist Church, and I just counted a privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit and to be able to preach to you tonight for a few minutes. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting Virginia and I, and thank you for the accommodations that you provided as well. And it's always good to come to a church where folks are friendly, and you just didn't even want to sit down from shaking people's hands and fellowshipping together tonight. Isn't that wonderful? And I enjoy that so much. But Virginia, I forgot to raise your hand so everybody knows who you are. I praise the Lord for her. She's a wonderful lady. And God has blessed us for many years together, and we're grateful for that. I'd like to preach to you a little bit tonight about praying for missions while we're waiting for Jesus to come back. Amen? And Acts chapter 12, verse 5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer tonight. Father, I thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for Pastor and all these good people. And it's exciting to hear, Lord, of five people got baptized this morning here. I just want to praise you for that, Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. So, Lord, I ask you for help. I need your help tonight to preach. I need your power, and I ask you to give that to me. And may your name be glorified and honored and uplifted tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in this portion of the Scripture, we're commanded to do some various things, and then we're refrained from doing some other things. And although there's one particular item I want to focus in on tonight, but I think it would be good for us to read the entire passage, beginning with verse number 14, and we'll read down to verse number 25. Starting with verse number 14, it says, Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And the verse I want to focus in on tonight is verse number 25. Brethren, pray for us. Every missionary has a deep concern that people are praying for them while they're on the mission field. 1 Peter 4:7 says, We are told that because the end of all times all things is at hand, we are to be sober, in other words, be serious, that's what that word means, and watch under prayer. Jesus likewise said in Mark 13:33, he says, take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. I believe that time is short. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return shortly. And so we need to be praying for missions while we're waiting for Jesus to come. So, you know, it seems to me it's very clear in Scripture, and it seems to me it would make sense that we're to spend some significant amount of time in specific prayer. Jesus has given us this tremendous responsibility to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility to do that. How He was born and how He died on the cross and shed His blood and was buried according to the Scriptures. And He rose again. Now that's the message that you and I are responsible for going out and telling people. And I'm sure we all know that. So, as I travel about and from church to church, I try to encourage folks about praying for missionaries. And so one of those ways is to pray effectively and fervently for missions, and particularly for the missionaries that you support here. And boy, I just like to see all those prayer letters on that back wall back there. I praise the Lord for that. And those are the ones that you support financially. You know, praying for those especially. Because, you know, they're the extension of your local church here. You know, not everybody can go to the mission field, so we sent them out of this church, and you're supporting them, and so we need to certainly get on our knees and pray for them from time to time. You know, they're going to make a difference in the world by winning souls for Christ. And by the way, I don't know if you know that, but every soul that they win to Christ is going to be on your account in heaven as well. And that's an exciting thing to think about. And, you know, when we give our finances to missionaries, and we're going to know when we get to heaven to actually what how many souls were saved and all that, you know. But it's going to be on your account in heaven. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9 for just a minute. Matthew chapter 9. Probably very familiar verse here. Verses 37 and 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, it says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So, here we are commanded that we're to pray to God to send forth laborers into the harvest. And, you know, we need to encourage our children and our grandchildren to think about being a missionary, to send out missionaries out of this local church. That's an exciting thing when that happens, you know. And there's probably, I have no doubt, that there's probably a family in this church that could go to the mission field if God would call them. And they would be willing to go. And I could say that for every church that loves the Lord, you know. And so we need to encourage our children and our families to be willing to do that. I was out in Illinois a couple years ago, and I was, before the church started, I was setting up my video, and there was nobody in the sanctuary, and in comes this little boy. And I said, how you doing, son? And he said, I'm doing well, sir. And, you know, we see little children, and we always ask, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And so I asked him that question. I said, son, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I thought that I would hear about being a policeman, a fireman, or or one of those types of answers, you know. And here this nine-year-old boy sees me. He says, "Sir, I want to be a Baptist preacher." Wow, that took me back. Man, I really like that, you know. And then he goes on to say, he says, "You know, when I come home from school, I get off the school bus." He says, "I go up to my room and I do my homework." He says, "All the other kids, they watch TV and do video games and all that stuff." He says, "And then when I'm done with my homework," he says, "I open up my Bible and I begin to prepare gospel messages." He says, "I got a whole briefcase full of them." He says, "Most of them will last about 20 minutes." Isn't that something? He's a little nine-year-old lad. And so we need to encourage our young people to do something for the Lord. You know, prepare themselves young. You know, sad to say, you know, I was 29 years old before I even got saved. And then look all that time that was missed, you know. But I praise the Lord I did get saved anyway. Amen. But, you know, missionaries are scarce. Pastor, you probably have a lot of phone calls, several during a week's time, and you think that there's a lot of missionaries that, you know, they're all out trying to raise support so they can get to the field, and it seemed like there might be a lot of them, but actually they're scarce. They are very scarce. As a matter of fact, the Word of God is scarce in the world today. You know, half the people on this planet don't even know what a Bible is. They don't even know who Jesus is. And so that's a sad thing. And so we need to be sending out our own folks and families, as I mentioned, and not just send money. That would be a wonderful thing. But most importantly, we need to get on our knees and pray for those missionaries that you support out of the church. And, you know, there's prayer letters back there. Usually missionaries send out a prayer letter. There's a reason for that. There's things in there that they want you to pray for. And so we need to take advantage of reading those and marking down those prayer request needs that these missionaries have. And I trust you all do that. And I'm sure that you do. You know, God is calling us holiness. We need to be holy if we're going to get our prayers answered. Amen? Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So God is calling us to holiness. In 1 Timothy 2:8 it says, Paul writes, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting holy hands, without wrath and doubting." Did you notice it says there that it says that men pray? You know, I don't believe that God is excluding women and children. That verse includes everybody. And it just mentions men there. But I think it's a sad thing, and I believe it's truth, that there's probably more women and children praying for missionaries than men. I just have that feeling, and I can't back that up in any way, but I just have that feeling. And listen, men, we need to be men of prayer, leading our families in devotions and things like that. We need to take the lead in our families and to be praying for missionaries. But as I said, the time is short. And I don't believe we have much time left. You know, Virginia and I have experienced times on the mission field that we knew that people were just praying for us. These very specific times. You know, it's hard to explain, but you know, you have that feeling. And the Holy Spirit is probably impressing that upon us, that God impressed on someone else to pray for us in times of maybe that of trouble that we might have been getting into or something like that. And so we felt that often over there in Africa. I remember walking through some high elephant grass. Oh, it grows to be 10, 12 feet high. And I had a lot of men working for me who took care of some building things, and they did all sorts of things. And so one day we was out doing something. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, we were walking through this elephant grass, and they told me to stop. And immediately I stopped in my tracks. And right in front of me slithered a sitting cobra. And if they wouldn't have, they sensed to know those things, you know, they sensed that snake was there, you know. I would have walked right, kept walking, and I would have probably got tangled up with that thing. Many times we felt God's protection in driving on those terrible roads. You don't know what a bad road is in this country. It's a terrible pothole and anything. You know, what they do sometimes is stage an accident. And they'll have somebody laying out on the road like they're, and people gathered around them, you know, like they've been hurt and everything like that. And so you're driving along in your vehicle, and they're hoping you'll stop. And so what they want to do is rob you, steal your vehicle, and maybe even kill you. You know, that never happened to us. It happened to other mission groups there in Zambia. You know, we were very close to, it was called Zaire at the time, now it's the Congo. And but anyway, the bandits would come across the border. It was just a few miles from the border, and they would steal vehicles like that and then take them back to Zaire and sell them. And so that happened to other mission groups. It didn't happen to us. Why? I think it's because, you know, God's people were praying for us during those very specific times. You know, I'm sure that somewhere that we just don't know who might man, but it's probably our supporters. We send out prayer letters and things like that. But, you know, we had a dear lady in our church back there in Fremont. We come home on our first furlough, and she asked Virginia, she said, "Virginia, did you ever see any snakes there in Zambia?" And Virginia said, "No." And that's true. She never did see a snake. All those years we were there, she never saw one. And this lady says, "I was praying for you every day that you would never see one." And that dear lady left me out of her prayers. But I've seen a lot of them, boy, I'll tell you. Anyway, they're dangerous, by the way. And so, you know, we don't always know what to pray for. And as I said before, that's why those prayer letters are back there. That's why you need to keep informed about your missionaries. And so you can pray for them. It makes a difference. Prayer does make a difference, folks. And we had a Bible Institute over there where we trained Zambians to be pastors. By the way, when I was there, as you saw in the video, I started over 100 churches. We trained a Zambian man to pastor every one of those churches. Now there's over 200 that have been started. And they're still training Zambians to be pastors over there. But anyway, one of the... we call them preacher boys, and one of those preacher boys, he was a school teacher on our mission. There's a public school there, a boarding school there on our mission. And he was a teacher there, and he was saved, and he entered our Bible Institute. And he was out from the western part of Zambia. And he said, "You know, there's no Baptist churches out there where I'm from." By the way, that's a different language out there. And there's 73 different languages in Zambia, but they do speak English there as the main language. And so my partner and I, we said, "Well, let's go out there and find out what's going on." So we packed up our truck and took a couple of our students with us. The rest of this one fellow, and we drove 500 miles out west over those terrible roads. And finally, we come to a little town called Zambezi. And I don't know if you ever heard of that the Zambezi River. That's the river that flows over the Victoria Falls, if you ever saw that pictures of that. That's magnificent. But anyway, way up there, it's just a small little river. And we got into town there, and everybody's looking at us, you know, and what are these, you know, there wasn't any white people there. And what are these white people coming into our town? And so the first thing we did, we went to the police and asked permission to preach. And you need to do that. You just can't go look set up, you know, and start doing that. So they said, sure, go ahead and do that. And so we drove around and we found a little spot that was near the market area. And we just set up our equipment there and started preaching. And lo and behold, hundreds and hundreds of people came out of that market area and were curious about what we were doing. And they sat on the ground there, and there were some trees there for shade. And we preached all afternoon to these people, give invitations, and people got saved. And our intention was to put this young fellow to start a church there and put him in there as a pastor of a church. So that's what our intention was. But anyway, the afternoon grew on, and we need to get back to where this fellow was from in his village. It was 50 miles back east. And so we needed to get there. So we loaded up truck and we drove back to his village. And all the people were glad to see him. They hadn't seen him in years and years. And they wanted to hear the Word of God as well. And so we started preaching the Word of God to them. And it got dark, and they built a great big bonfire. And people just seemed to come out of the woodwork. They were from everywhere. And we preached and preached. Everybody had a chance, you know, to preach and give invitations. People got saved, and it's the wee hours of the morning, and they simply would not let us go to bed. They said, we want to hear more of the Word of God. And we said, look, we're tired. We need to go to bed. So finally they let us go to bed, and I went into this little mud hut with a grass, had a grass roof on it, And I lay down in this bed there that they provided. It seems like I just laid my head down on the pillow there, and there was a knock on the door. And so I got up and went to the door, and the sun was just coming up in the morning. And here this man stood there. And I said, can I help you? And they speak a British-type English, if you know what I'm talking about. And he stood there, and he says, I want to hear the Word of God. And I said, well, come on in. And there was a little table and a couple chairs. I lit a candle. We sat there at the table and opened up the Word of God. And I taught him for about an hour and a half. Showed him how to get saved and taught him a number of things. And when he was standing at that door, his countenance, hard to explain, but it just looked evil to me. And sitting there at that table, and finally he realized that he was a sinner and he needed to get saved, and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his life and save him, and the tears started rolling down his face, and his countenance was just completely changed. It was amazing thing to see. And he even wanted to get baptized. This was a Sunday morning. It had been raining out there, and there was a puddle of water, and just enough to get him under the water, baptize him. And I did that as well. And so anyway, we were there in that village for 10 days, preaching to these people. And they just couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Don't you wish people in this country have a hunger and a thirst for God's precious Word? And anyway, 10 days, you know, we said, well, we got to get back. And so here's what we did. We told these people, we want you to pray. We want you to make up songs. And that's what Africans do. They read the scriptures, these stories in the Bible, and they'll make up songs to sing. And they all have the same melody. But you know, they know the stories, you know. That's just wonderful to hear those things, those songs. But anyway, we want you to sing songs. and read the Bible, and we had one Bible in their language that this fellow had brought with them. And he left that Bible with them. And we left. Got back to our mission, and after 1 year, we got to thinking, you know, I wonder what those folks are doing out there. So let's go find out. So we drove back out 500 miles off of those terrible roads. And when we got into that village, what we found was that they had built a big church. It was about the size of your church here. Maybe a little bit smaller. Well, they could pack them in there. It was packed with people. You know, sprinkled mud brick, grass over the top of it. They would sit on logs that's for pews, you know. And, it was marvelous. And what we found them doing was reading that one Bible that we'd give them and singing and praying. Just like we told them to do when we left. You know, the Holy Spirit of God was their pastor. And I got to thinking about that. You know, I believe Paul, he was in Thessalonica only maybe a few days when he left. And when he went back, he found an amazing thing going on as well. And so when he was there, I found out the story behind this man who knocked on my door. And he was a bad guy. He was a bad dude. And he might have even killed somebody. I don't know about all that. But anyway, he was now a leader in that church. And he told me the story about when we were in that city of Zambezi and we left. Somehow he heard that we were there and he didn't get there in time. And he wanted to hear the Word of God. You know, the Holy Spirit of God was impressing upon him to do that. And he walked 50 miles all that night long and came to that village and knocked on that door. And God allowed old Jim Menkoff here to lead him to Jesus. What a wonderful thing. And, you know, we've never been able to put a pastor in place out there. And we left. And just telling them to keep on doing what they were doing, you know. And as far as I knew, they're still doing that today. I don't know. But anyway, why am I telling you that story here tonight? We're talking about prayer here this evening. Praying for missionaries. When I first went to Zambia, I met with some Zambians, and they told me that they had been praying 15 years. That God would send them an American missionary. How could I not go over there? I thought about that in the Bible. They said, "Go, you know, come on over to Macedonia and help us with the Word of God." And that's what they asked me. Come over and help us with the Word of God. They had a hunger and a thirst to hear about God. You know, if I would have, you know, if I had not gone over there, you know, this fellow knocked on my door, he would have never got saved. Probably. Along with thousands of others. And so prayer makes a difference. And, you know, the Apostle Paul had some prayer requests in the Bible as well. He wanted people to pray for him. And over in, you don't need to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, he's asking people to pray for him while he was in Asia. There, he nearly died over there. Yeah, while he was in Asia. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, he asked for prayer that God would give him a boldness to preach. And over in 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 to 2, he asked for prayer again that the guy, he would have freedom to preach the Word of God. And so there's some very specific prayers that Paul asked for in the Word of God. Now, one more example I want to show you tonight, and then we'll be done. Over in Colossians 4, turn over there. Colossians chapter 4. Verses 12 and 13. Colossians 4, 12 and 13. Says Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Listen to what it says here. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Think about that. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. So here's a man, Epaphras, who prayed consistently. It says always. Then he says here they prayed fervently, you know, laboring fervently in prayer. Oh, that you and I would have that said about you, about us, that we would be willing to do that, spending that much time in prayer. Then it says he prayed very specifically here. It says, stand perfect and complete in the will of God. So there's an example for us that we ought to follow. A fellow by the name of Epaphras here. So what we need to do, folks, is just simply make a commitment. And that's what it boils down to, making a commitment to pray for your missionaries that you support, especially those that you support financially. I trust you'd be willing to do that tonight. And I trust this might have been a help to you tonight, this little message, and encouragement to you. So we need to pray for Christians while we're waiting for Jesus to come back soon, folks. Then time is up. There'll be no more time. So we need to be faithful in doing that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these good people here tonight that listened intently for as I spoke, Lord, and I want to thank you for that. And now, Lord, we're going to have an invitation time, and if you've spoken to these folks' hearts, Lord, I pray that they'll make that commitment that was mentioned. So bless in a mighty way, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
Stand together with me this evening, if you would. Take your songbooks. Page 293 in the songbook. We're going to have an opportunity at the time of invitation. If the Lord has spoken to your heart and challenged you, as we sing page 293, the altar's open, you come.